Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant Nanny on the Fan. We're brought to you exclusively by the law firm of Condor and Morad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Joining us now on the Rood Guest Hotline, Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. From CBS Sports, our guy, Joel Corey. Joel, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today.
What's up, Joel?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Let's get into this Terry McLaurin contract situation. We've heard from a couple national reporters now that things aren't going swimmingly between the two parties. I think that's kind of, you know, agent agitation. You don't hear, you know, those complaints kind of usually coming from teams where, things aren't going well. But what do you think the difference is? Where's the gap? And how close do you think they are to being reasonably done?
Well, on the surface, it should be an easy deal to do because Terry, Pro Bowl receiver, second team All-Pro last year. The big problem is he was an old rookie, redshirted, spent 5 years in college, 24-year-old rookie, turns 30 in September. All the guys at the top of the market were either signing off of their rookie contract or they're at least 2 years younger. So that's the big problem. The three is the first digit in his age. We're seeing that's a problem in Cincinnati with Trey Hendrickson, that they want to do a short-term commitment, but they don't want to go the longer-term commitment in that case. So age is really a big issue in this case.
So, Joel, the one thing that I saw you write about in the article at CBSSports.com, comping it to the Tyreek Hill extension with the Miami Dolphins, when essentially he was getting, you know, $30 million per, but he got $54 million guaranteed at signing. Do you think that is a more realistic comp than the DK Metcalf numbers that have been thrown around here?
That's a hard comp because that was a unique situation that he was under contract for 3 years because the way his contract was structured, that he was never going to play out the end. It just had a big number and salary for that purpose. They essentially ripped it up and gave your deal. Tyreek did it when it was free. If I'm Terry's camp, my whole thing is I arguably had my best year. They would say he had his best year in 2024. I am not slowing down, so age shouldn't be a concern or an issue in this negotiation. So they're going to look more to DK Metcalf for that reason and one other. DK Metcalf was in his same draft class, mm-hmm. 2019. He declared early as opposed to playing 5 years like Terry did. And if you looked at the stats over the 5 years, they favored Terry, and particularly last year, DK Metcalf didn't have 1,000 yards. But DK Metcalf has something you can't find at receiver. 6'3", 230 pounds, great speed. Those physical traits don't grow on trees. So that isn't necessarily a spot-on comp for a variety of reasons.
Joel Corey with us here on Grant and Danny Linnell in for GP, CBS Sports, salary cap and contract expert. Kind enough to join us to break down this Terry McLaurin situation. So, Joel, taking personality and what he's meant to the team, obviously he's been through multiple regimes, been productive despite some pretty adverse circumstances. But just playing cutthroat GM for a second, tell me where I'm off base on this. I would say the franchise tag next year is $28 million. The franchise tag the year after that, if we do it a second time, is 120% of that, roughly 33. I got you under contract for this year, two more years. I don't want to meet an escalated asking price over that. Why wouldn't I just do that? You know, sort of take your chances, and I could offer you a contract that's reflective of that, maybe a little more to sweeten the pot, but not going up to some of these other numbers when I've got a little more leverage here. Where am I off base?
A little off base on the franchise tag number. It's actually going to be slightly over 30 with the way the 120% calculation.
So next year it'll be over that? Okay.
It's performed. Yeah, but same concept that if you don't want to meet his asking price, you don't want to make the longer-term commitment, then you would go to year to year. The problem is, what carry are you going to get if he has to play out his contract? Sometimes guys in contract years, it affects them. Sometimes it doesn't. We don't know in this particular case because he never seen him in a contract year having to perform. But that being said, you're not going to get a deal done, in my opinion, if you are going to not reflect he's the number one receiver. The two distinct markets, number one receiver, number two receiver. On this team, he's the number one receiver. He's your primary target. The top of the number two market is T. Higgins. T. Higgins would be a number one receiver a lot of other places, just not in Cincinnati. He signed a four-year extension, a lot younger. I think he's 26, averaging $28.75 million per year. So if you're not going to top that number, I don't think there's any deal that Terry McLaurin is going to consider.
Joel, the other holdup in this, and I guess this is me asking you, is it more about the guaranteed money, do you think, for Terry, or is it about the AAV?
It's probably a combination of all the things. In DK Metcalf's contract, he had $60 million fully guaranteed at signing. The last 20 guarantees are kind of meaningless because they're injury guarantees. Pittsburgh traditionally doesn't guarantee a lot of money in veteran contracts. They've only done it for three players. Minkah Fitzpatrick was no longer there. T.J. Watt was the first, and now Metcalf getting guarantees in the second year. So, he's going to want comparable guarantees. He's probably going to want decent cash flow. You do have a deal that he's done before. You can use as a blueprint if you're talking 3-year extension, and just use that kind of structure as the guide for a new deal if you can agree upon what the actual total dollars would be on the extension.
So, Joel, you've been in these negotiations before, and you know so much about this from kind of both sides of the table. What is the team arguing, or are they? Like, how is this negotiation going, and why are the only things that we're hearing at this point about how far apart they are?
Yeah. Well, the only time you hear someone so far apart, it's obviously the agent side, because they're trying to put public pressure on the team to right. get to a point that the team doesn't want to go. So teams typically don't leak. This player is asking way too much money. It's typically that's when the player's trying to use what he can to apply some sort of pressure. It's still kind of early. I know training camp starts in about 2 weeks. It will be interesting to see what Terry would do if there's not a deal done by then. Would he hold out? That's $50,000 per day for each training camp day he's not there. And that's a mandatory fine. Or would he hold in where he shows up to avoid the fine, participates on a very limited basis or not at all, and does just classroom work until there's a deal done. I think the time to be concerned is as we start getting middle of the preseason, mid-August, if there's not a deal done, then maybe you should really be a little more concerned than today.
Joel, I would have had several heart attacks by that point. If it drags that far out, let me ask you this, I guess. The longer it goes, do you think it decreases the likelihood of it getting done?
Not necessarily, because we've seen situations each year where it drags out and eventually they get done. Adam Peters comes from a team where
that's true.
Up until this year, they dragged out everything. Last year, San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk held in. That was done late. Trent Williams held out. That was done late. Nick Bosa when Adam was still there. That was done late. Debo had some issues. It got done a few days into training camp. So this is kind of the nature of the beast.
What timetable would make the most sense? Just kind of nailing that down here. Like, I just, to me, at the CBA, the way it's set up, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, Joel, but it's just not incentivized for players to hold out and get fined, and they need to be there to recruit the service time. If they want to change that, they should talk to their union rep, which I want to get to in a second, too, with you, by the way, about what's going on at the highest levels. But what timetable makes the most sense to you?
Start a training camp is ideal because then Terry's there. You're getting him for the full benefit to try to build upon the success of last year. But he's a multi-year vet. He probably knows how long it takes for him to get ready to play and to have a successful season. The longer this thing drags on, the one thing you have to worry about is some sort of soft tissue injury, because we've seen that time and time again where there's a contract dispute which drags on. The player has a soft tissue injury and he's out 2-3 or more or multiple games because of some sort of hamstring injury or quad injury, groin or whatever he had.
Joel, I know people aren't going to want to hear this, and we're still a ways away from this. I understand. What would be the trade value for Terry McLaurin if it got to that point?
Well, you got to look at the DK Metcalf trade as something you'd have to, which would be in the ballpark. That was essentially a second-round pick. The problem is Redskins are trying to win now. If you're going to trade him, you need to do it before the draft so you could get someone who could come in, you could replace him, draft pick. You don't have anyone on the roster who can effectively do what Terry does. I know you traded for Debo Samuel, but he hasn't been highly productive since 2021, which was his last contract year, so I have my reservations about him. I don't see a scenario where they're going to trade him because they're trying to win and get to a Super Bowl this year.
Give our guy Joel Corey a follow, at Corey Joel on the old Twitterverse. Joel, quick gear shift here, but I can think of no one better to explain to the people what the hell's going on. NFLPA and the NFL, we've got some shenanigans, tomfoolery, maybe even you could call it ballyhoo at the highest levels. I guess there's a vote now taking place about what to do with union leadership. Catch people up as to what's going on.
This all stems from the collusion case that was brought because of quarterbacks not getting fully guaranteed contracts after Deshaun Watson. There was a decision which the arbitrator made in January, which said that the NFL tried to encourage collusion, but did not actually engage in collusion. There was an agreement between union leadership and the NFL to keep that ruling secret. Pablo Torre and Mike Florio, to their efforts, got a copy of the 61-page decision. It paints the NFL. It's not a good look for the NFL. It's also not a good look for union leadership not to try to weaponize this and use it for players. Then it comes out that today, which is almost as bad, that there's a conflict of interest with the executive director, Lloyd Howe, that he works for he's doing some consulting for a company which has ties to the NFL. If you are the union head of the union, that should be a full-time job. You shouldn't be moonlighting. It shouldn't be any type of company which has any type of NFL ties. So, yeah, if I'm an agent, one, I would have liked to have had that agreement in January, or you could discuss it with us at the annual seminar with agents at the Combine so I could have it going into free agency. If I'm players, why is the union keeping us in the dark? So, yeah, there's a lot to discuss, and the more stuff that comes out, this isn't it. It's going to take 2/3 of the player rep board to change union leadership. Well, we could be headed in that direction.
Wow. Yeah, and I feel like it's one of those stories that is, I think, kind of under the radar for the general public here as well. But that is a major, major shakeup there. Joel, awesome as always, buddy.
Thanks,
have
Joel.
A great afternoon. Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Danny, right. we haven't gotten into the weeds on the collusion thing. The fact that the players' union isn't trying to, like Joel said, use that to their advantage and trying to quote-unquote weaponize it is crazy. It goes back to the Lamar Jackson thing. Like, when Deshaun Watson got that ridiculous fully guaranteed contract, the owners were like, we'll never do this again. That's why Arthur Blank stood and looked Atlanta media in the face and said, no, we're good at quarterback. We wouldn't pay Lamar Jackson. Like, you idiot. Why would you not do that? So I think it's super messy. It's fascinating, and it requires a lot of reading and detail finding, but good on you to ask that.
Yeah, so for a long time, and this is a local guy, we knew Demaurius Smith pretty darn well, right? I mean, I got to know George Atala, who was the number two over there for years, always so gracious and kind, answering every question Grant and I had. But so the new boss over there is a dude named Lloyd Howell. I've never met him, don't know anything about him. Well, you find some of these details out, and Joel does a really nice job because sort of chronicling some of this. He's got a part-time employment with a company called the Carlyle Group, who Orioles fans know. David Rubenstein came from there, and he now owns the Orioles. They do quite good business, from what I understand. They're very successful, but he's got a gig there. And there's a conflict of interest, potentially, with his employment there, or the contract at least has there in the NFL, and he's representing players' interest. Now you have this case that came out, which basically said this should have been the beginning of ground gained for the players. Whether you think that's right or not is irrelevant.
Right.
And I don't think it's right. I don't think the Deshaun Watson contract should have been a precedent for anything other than Cleveland was so desperate and stupid.
It was being dumb, yeah.
Right? But even still, for the players' perspective, you could absolutely understand that they go, okay, toothpaste is out of the tube. Let's all line up. And then the owners went, nope.
Yeah.
And it kind of reeked a little bit. Well, it turns out, again, according to what's alleged, and whatever I'm supposed to say so no one sues me, that the top layers in the NFLPA kind of went along with it and didn't share some of this stuff with the players.
That's my problem.
And well,
how are you our leader and you're not telling us what the hell's going on?
There are a lot of times where when you're the boss of the players, for example, and again, over the years, it's not like I sparred with Demaurius Smith a lot or would argue with George Atala, but there are times where I go, I understand your perspective. God, I find that annoying, though.
Yeah.
Like, for Major League Baseball players, for their union rep for so many years, I'm like, can you just submit to the drug testing, please? But it's an ask. It's a chore. It's a thing. And you are representing the players. And I know it's for the common good.
Yeah.
But they're sitting there going, you're asking us to do something. What are you giving it back? And you have to take those positions sometimes. Right? It's not fun. And it's also not always great for public perception, et cetera, but that's the gig.
Yeah.
That's the job. So, yeah, this is a little bit messy. Yeah.
Hairy. Very hairy.
If you will.
Yeah.
Now, football's still going to be played.
Right.
The leadership might change over, but yeah, the trying to get over on the 31, counting Green Bay, however they do, call it 32, the 32 owners, it's much easier to get that group of people.
Yeah.
Just to put a signature on a piece of paper, than it is the couple of thousand NFL players from different cities with different backgrounds, different needs, and everything else, right? That's just a numbers game. That's harder.
Yeah.
And these guys, I say guys, and there's a couple lady owners, but these folks, this is what they do. I always talk about this in my walk of life. I am not a professional repairer of cable. I'm not a professional like handler of my car maintenance. I'm not when I have to do something that's like one of the thousand things that I have to do that I don't. It's not my job. I go to the people whose job it is.
Right.
The players are at an inherent disadvantage. Business people are doing a business thing right to you.
Yeah.
And they're good at it. Most of them. Some of them just walked in. They're like born on third base. They're like, man, I had a triple. No. But other guys and gals, they made their fortunes, and they're here at the top of the business world. They deal in business every day. You deal in football, and you're probably as good at it as anybody that's ever been. You're incredibly skilled, but that's not your forte. They live this, you don't.
Yeah.
So when you've got to be a tourist in their space, it's harder. The same way that if you're like, okay, man, flatten out your bench route and try to get six steps deep to make the cornerback swivel his hips and then try to get open. 63-year-old guy that couldn't run a mile in 20 minutes.
Doesn't do this. It's not. It's
cannon fodder for them.
To think that like Lloyd Howell is supposed to be the dude that helps you not get taken advantage of, and then in turn he is taking advantage of you by withholding information. Like that's a very damning set of information.
It's a serious thing.
Like it would break all trust to be within the union. Like I wonder what type of lasting ramifications that this has between the head of the NFLPA and the players here on out. Because, like, I'm sure this isn't the first time the head of the NFLPA has done something shady. It's probably just now getting out.
Or, we're guys who aren't necessarily plugged in every day are going, wait, what?
The backup kicker for the Cardinals, who was also a part of the union. Like, it's weird, man.
Totally. Good discussion, though, and it's something to watch. Yeah. Again, football will be played, but this kind of stuff I find fascinating. Here's what I want to do next before we get to the double play. We're going to touch on this. I think we'll probably go harder with this maybe later on in the program. But we've got more pressure. We're talking about a lot of negotiations here on the radio program today. More pressure potentially being applied on the D.C. City Council when it comes to the stadium front. And this body is bigger than the D.C. City Council, respectively.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big name. It's one of those world leader type guys. We'll explain next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I generally pride myself on taking timed bites, understanding when we're coming back. I thought I had another 20 seconds there on Linnell's update. I didn't have a – I thought I – I'm not criticizing.
See what I'm saying?
No.
I literally walked in there and I said, Darius, if I'm going short, let me know.
No.
I'm trying to do my best. Toby, all ties are impersonation today. Shout out to Toad Mode.
This is not a criticism, not a Thurman. The point of what I'm saying is I thought I had another 20 seconds. I'm eating my white cheddar protein crisps. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my guys at Co-Pair. Checking in tomorrow. Feel like I'm having a really good week.
You look good.
Thank you. Feeling good. And I thought I had another several seconds.
Yeah.
So if you're watching on YouTube, shout out to the YouTube chat. I get roasted pretty hard there most days. But whatever. I'm sitting there. You see like the disgusting big bite chew. It's not like a little bit at a time. It's like commercial break, limited window. I recorded a couple spots. I used the facility, had a quick chat with our boss, and I've got about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
One big bite of my little snacky snack, my white protein cheddar crisps, and I'm still sitting there doing like that gross hurry-up chew before we're coming back, and it's unsightly. The people had to see that, and I'm sorry about that.
So when I go from the crop, were you like, damn it?
Yeah, I went, oh, crap.
I'm sorry about
that. No, don't you dare apologize. And especially, I even hesitated to bring it up, Darius. Given what happened yesterday.
Well, social media loved that, by the way. The old Instagram.
Well, for folks that didn't see it, like Linnell basically was like, if I were a white, I'd be blushing. Is how you explained it, right? I mean, somehow like I'm intimidating or he's intimidated by me or like doesn't like eye contact or something or something's going on where he doesn't like to do the updates in the place that he's going to sit with the microphone. He's got to go to this other room and kind of hide.
Look,
I don't know, man.
We went through it yesterday. I take these updates seriously, and you give me stage fright. It's an ode to you, Danny.
Well, that's nice of you. All right, here's what's going on. So this is complicated. So you remember this came up earlier this week or last week? All the days are running together at this point.
Monday.
It was Monday is when it came up. Thank you. And Grant and I both kind of asked how exactly, and we tried to hypothesize. But here's the deal. This is from Axios. I'll read this to you. From Kunit Dill, I believe I've got the name right. If I don't, I apologize. The Commanders have a new message for the D.C. Council. Get the RFK Stadium redevelopment approved or risk the Pandora's box of President Trump getting involved, Axios has learned. Why it matters. Trump can uniquely influence the NFL stadium project thanks to the power of the White House and through federal design commissions. And he suggested he's willing to step in. This is him quoted. If I can help the team out, I will. Trump told reporters on Sunday. I added the voice, by the way, just to make sure you knew who was talking. Noting the feds still own the 190-acre land. What I'm hearing. This is again from Dill's story. Commanders have executives stepped up their lobbying on Tuesday, telling D.C. council members that Trump's involvement could introduce volatility that the team and mayor, Muriel Bowser, would like to avoid. Given the president's recent comments, the team discussed the need to move quickly, said a source familiar with the conversations who wasn't authorized to speak publicly. The risks are plenty. D.C. has a 99-year lease on RFK Stadium land, but the federal government breaks leases all the time. Trump could muscle in a new agreement, cutting out the city. Trump's involvement could have strings attached, like design tweaks that can delay the project. Trump can also enlist another stadium booster, Representative James Comer. Remember him, he's the Republican chair of the House Oversight Committee. Comer's on the sidelines ready to go if the council doesn't act. This again from the story. Comer, quote, strongly urged D.C. Council Chair Phil Mendelson in a July 2nd meeting to approve the RFK Stadium deal before the council adjourns for August recess, his office said in a statement. Comer's committed to working with local leaders on the deal and secure its approval as quickly as possible, it added. Mendelson has said the July 15th deadline requested by the team and mayor won't be met. The council's timeline is more likely to stretch into September. So Trump has levers to pull even without getting directly involved. And then there's other stuff that's about kind of the government, the bureaucracy, and things that he can do. And it sort of goes on from there. But here's the point. I kind of was like, hey, I don't know exactly how. And this seems to be pretty clearly saying the rules that apply to everybody else don't apply when it's the White House and it's the federal government. And they can sort of do what they want here. Where I know we've got a deal in place, but if we don't like what's going on, we'll just sort of tear it up and do it ourselves. What do you make of it?
It's a shame that it has to get to this point. I keep going back to the deal that is in place. The Commanders are willing to foot 76% of this bill, 76% of the cost to make RFK 2.0 a thing. I understand this, the council members' jobs to negotiate the best deal possible, but like, damn, can you ask for much more? When you think about the other stadium deals that happen across the country and how much public funding is going into it, this Commanders deal that Josh Harris and company are providing is quite literally a sweetheart deal. And the folks in the D.C. City Council, to me, ready for this, Danny, are set tripping. They're tripping.
That's undesirable.
Set tripping is bad. I just don't get it. And I think about, you know, all of the, you know, potential benefits that it could have for the district, and I'm all for that. The crazy thing to me is this. When we first started having these discussions and we first knew that this was a possibility, my whole thing was this. I didn't really want it in D.C. because I thought the taxpayers, the residents of D.C. were going to have to come out of pocket a lot. In this deal, they don't. And I think Josh Harris, Mitch Rales and company understand they have an opportunity here. If this thing gets done, if it actually revitalizes the community the way it's supposed to, they will be remembered long after Jayden Daniels throws his final touchdown. They'll be remembered long after Terry McLaurin, you know, catches his final touchdown. This is an opportunity for the ownership group to etch their names in stone forever, not just as football people, but as real stewards of the community. And I think that means a lot to them. And I know that that's a big reason why they want to get it done. But like, DC's tripping right now to me. I don't get it.
Let me try to help you get it. Devil's advocate here for a second. Yeah. I'm not espousing a position, just asking. So you mentioned 76% of the revenue. I think that's very important for the upfront cost, right? Why would the team then be allowed to keep 100% of the parking when DC is going to pay for the parking? Why would the team or only have to pay $1 a year in rent for property that could get millions on that same square footage? So in other words,
because who needs the stadium more in D.C., the Commanders or D.C.?
I think it's a reasonable debate. I think it's a reasonable question.
That's kind of where I fall with.
Here would be my response to that. If I'm council member Rainey Duguay over here, okay, my alter ego, Mr. Rainey.
You're probably somewhere from like Hawaii or something.
Yeah, I'm an at-large member. I'm just a large member. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's my response. We think you should get the lion's share. Why are we not getting any percentage? Why would we get 0% forever?
If you're really invested in helping out the economy and the people, why would you not?
You're putting up more money. So let's say we buy Strober. We're going to buy out Strober. The Strober is MoCo Enterprises. Okay? Okay. It's all about Montgomery County, and it's just Montgomery County swag. And we go, we like it. We're going to put up a combined, just making up a number, a combined $10 million. Mm-hmm. You put up 3, and I put up 7. And what if I went to you and went, okay, so I'll just get 100% of the profits for the next, 30 years. You'd go, no. Mm-hmm. Aren't I entitled to something there? Wouldn't you be entitled to 30% of the profits for a while or 70 or some kind of structure that would make sense that's more fair and balanced? That would be the devil's advocate response is, we're all in favor of this. Why don't we get some while you get all? I get that you want to be paid back first, and you should.
Well, think about this. You're not getting that. Okay, I understand you're upset about that, but you know what you are getting? Which wouldn't happen if this stadium was not going to be a thing? All that draft revenue. All the money from the draft coming here. DC gets the benefit from that, right? Are the Commanders pocketing that money?
I don't know. But for parking, they are.
Well,
And here's the other thing I need. And again, it feels like I'm advocating for something. I'm not.
Getting me smarter.
Well, this is my usual thing. I argue against everybody. So, like, my reasons.
Danny versus the world.
Well, my reasons for wanting it are very different than what's sold. I think what's sold is a bill of goods. So, when you read an economic impact study, here's what you should say. If I have something that needs to be wiped up, I'll use that.
Yeah.
It's from an advocate for something that's going to tell you, look at all the new money. So, for example, again, we're picking on Strober. Let's go to Strober Sandwich Shop. If we go on a Tuesday when there's nothing going on, you and I just went to Strober Sandwich Shop, got a sandwich. Mm-hmm. If it happens during the week of the Super Bowl, they go, look, economic impact.
Right.
Strober Sandwich Shop sold 2 sandwiches. They might have sold those 2 sandwiches or not.
Regardless,
we don't know,
right.
but it's new, right? So these are just made up inflated numbers. The point is that all this money that you get, well, did you just sit there and money came pouring in? Or did you have to hire a bunch of people? Did you have to do a bunch of maintenance? Did you have to build a bunch of things? Did you have to go up according to code? So there's plenty of studies done that say the Super Bowl cost you just as much or more as you gain. There'll be new tourists coming into your hotels. Mm-hmm. There'll be new people coming in and spending money at your restaurants. But some of the people that live there might have spent money anyway. Tourists might have come anyway, etc. And you had to spend a bunch to get the thing up to code. My reason for it isn't profit. My reason for it is it's the best showcase you got.
Yeah.
What better way to say, we're open for business, baby, than those aerial shots? What better way to say, we crushed the draft? You know what did more for Detroit? Detroit has been losing people every year in Detroit proper for my whole life, basically. People leave the city of Detroit because they're like, we can't do this anymore. That's all for me. Deuces. Detroit, for that draft, that was incredible. Remember how great that theater was? It was, you're going, Detroit, how you doing? What's up, sexy?
Right.
That's what that is. And that's the point to me. Not that you're not this bogus economic voodoo where you're going to pretend that you're making money.
Optics.
So for me, I want it, but I want everyone to have eyes wide open that it's not the financial boon that everyone pretends it is for the city. And all these idiots on the council are doing is going, no, we don't like free monies. We want it harder and more miserable. That's not what's happening. Now, I'm also not advocating for them. I think they're unreasonable. They're employing a guy. Yeah, sorry, you got me started. They're using as a consultant a dude that was kicked off the council in disgrace. Nobody's good in this year. So that's my point. There's my response back to you.
These negotiations don't make a whole lot of sense to someone that's not as smart as you. I try to put it in layman's terms here. Right. I just look at the fact that Eric Flack. I was trying to find it on his X account, the investigative reporter for WSA9, pal of the station, all that. He put out the numbers that. And I keep going back to the 76% thing. That, to me, is my end-all, be-all. They're giving you a stadium deal that's honestly unprecedented when you think about stadium costs nowadays. Think about what the people in Nashville are dealing with. Think about what's going on in Kansas City. They are taking what I believe to be the most severe problem with this and making it a nothing burger by footing 76% of the bill. And when you've got 21 limited partners, you should be able to do that. And I give Josh Harris and company all the kudos.
Exactly right. And they're advocating for themselves, and that's what they should do. But I guess my point is, so too should the city. Here is my kind of extra layer to this. where, again, it sounds like the voices on the council, you guys are crushing it. Individually, we've interviewed a bunch of them. They've all been very forthcoming.
And, I know y'all love Mendelsohn.
Well, yeah, but the guys that have come on, Charles Allen comes on whenever we ask and has been answers every question and is not necessarily combative, but when he and Grant spar, it's great. Brooke Pinto was marvelous, and I'm blanking on some of the other names, but everybody that's come on with this, I've been individually impressed with, right? As they are sharp people, and you could see the charisma that led them to get elected. But not having any alternative lined up at any point in time is beyond inexcusable.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're one of these folks on the council that's going, I don't see it with the stadium. It doesn't make as much economic sense as everybody's getting. They're getting hyped up or looking at some of the, I'm just naming your stat. Everyone's looking at the 76% part, but we're not looking at what the economic really realities are going to be for us. We're going to go into debt on this. We're not going to make the money back that people think. Instead of just saying that and going, oh, well, where was your alternative? Where's the Wharf? Where's NoMa? Where's I'm trying to blank. I'm blanking on some of the different things in D.C.
Name D.C. properties.
Yeah, the dozen other locales that have been built up without a stadium. Where's your alternative? You had none. You sat there sitting on your hands forever, no idea that this might come to pass at some point. And you're sitting there going, we don't have enough time. Wrong. You had plenty of time.
From a fan's perspective, right, since we're doing the devil's advocate bit, where's the Commander's backup plan? Why are you only negotiating with D.C. right now? Why is Maryland not a part of these discussions?
Because Virginia disqualified themselves, and the only location in Maryland is unacceptable, and they know it. Back to you.
But wouldn't you think, if you're having a negotiation, getting another, the threat of not going to D.C., and yeah. I think D.C. probably knows what you just said.
Oh, they know. They know.
But, like, at least try. Like, if I'm Josh Harris, the company, I'm not going to sit here and play tiddlywinks for too much longer here with D.C. I have given you my deal. We are not changing our deal, and you're now at a point where the deadline not being met is going to start costing us money and delaying the stadium project that all of us want. It goes back to the Grant Paulson theory is what I'm now calling it. I differ from a lot of you. You all want to get back to RFK 2.0. It's the number one thing that matters for you. You would sell your soul for it. I just want a new football stadium. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not.
Well,
like,
which I understand. But you also don't have to be. You're not going to be the one left holding the bag when it's a terrible business decision like San Francisco made an hour from the city or wherever. Like, if they put it in West Virginia, you'd go, I got a new football stadium. But, oh, crap, it's not fun to go
out
to.
Out in Martinsburg? That'd be awful. Could you imagine having to commute to Martinsburg?
Yes, and I like going to West Virginia. I've been to Martinsburg. I spent plenty of time. In fact, Morgantown's one of my sleepy favorite cities on the planet.
You sleep on
my grandparents had a cabin in Romney, West Virginia. I've spent a lot of time in what is it? The Mountain State? What is it called? That's Colorado. What's West Virginia? The something state?
Country Roads.
There it is. Country Roads. The John Denver Country Roads State. But that's my point, is everyone just says, new stadium. If it's in a location that sucks, it will not be successful. And you don't care about
that. But it's already
that.
In a location that sucks.
Exactly. And that's why they want out.
But when people were winning, I think this goes back to the lazy, and I think it's kind of lazy to do the whole, well, winning matters, that's the only thing that matters bit. If it's in a bad location, but you're good, which is not guaranteed because Jaden Daniels could snap his leg tomorrow.
Well, yeah, there are going to be years where he's not playing for you. One time. The undulations of pro sports happen, right? You need,
I get it.
If you, for example, if this was a different business structure, if the Learners own Nats Park, the city does, but if they owned it, they would need this structure that the Hog ownership group is talking about.
Yeah.
They need the Panera Bread, the Starbucks, the couple different locales right there on the stadium grounds, paying tithes to my lord, like it's like fiefdoms in Scotland in the Highlands in 1400s. That's the new system. That's the way to make the money because these stadiums are so damn expensive now.
Yeah.
Right? So in order to survive these kinds of times when your team stinks, you need this too. And that's kind of the point here. Double play is next. We're going to get more into this a little bit later. I want to come back to it probably, I think, in the 5 o'clock hour. We will hit this back up and do it again. But next, double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports before the Beltway Blitz at 4.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you hear that music, you know what time it is. Double play action right here on The Fan. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. It's driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. There's so many papers over here. I'm very disorganized. It's my own fault. All these papers over here, and I got a paper towel because I spilled jelly on myself earlier. Having a day. Lynnell, I do this every once in a while. Grant doesn't like it, but he's not here. He had a baby. Congratulations. We're playing it's a little game called What Would You Eat Right Now?
Ooh,
and here's how you play. You can play at home or on the road. Just do it safely. Assume best quality. So assume it's like not like a watered down worst version of it, yeah, or like a nub chef or something like that. Assume best quality. Any food instantly delivered to you right now that you can eat. Okay. What would you pick? So we got through Ben, we got through Ryan, we got through young Wesley, who has some pretty adult taste for a little guy, for like a dude that's almost nine.
He is on your way.
Daris, what's your choice? Anything you can eat right now, what would you eat?
Haney actually stole my answer because I'm actually craving a burger.
Think about
as well.
A burger. Right?
I was definitely like considering going to our local burger establishment here.
Why does that happen sometimes? Everybody knows exactly what you're talking about, yeah, where you just go, I want a burger.
Yeah.
There are very few foods that come up as often like that, where it's just like, it's been a certain unit of time. It's not a fixed interval where you go, I just want a bleeping burger today.
It's just one of those foods.
Yeah.
It's just one of those foods that you just casually will just crave.
Right,
I want, this is might be odd. I'm oddly craving a mushroom Swiss burger. I want a nice, juicy, medium cooked mushroom Swiss burger.
That's where you mess up.
It's going to be topped with what? Medium?
Yes.
We'll go back to that.
Okay.
Topped with, of course, Swiss cheese and mushrooms with that glorious mushroom sauce that it has.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I want a side of curly fries. Mm. I know people love their crinkle fries. Now, I like curly and seasoned.
Now, when you go curly fry, it's because we all envision the Arby curly fry.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
When Arby's goes, it'll be 5 more minutes for the curly fries. Do you wait? The answer is yes. You can of get straight fries anywhere. You can't get those curly fries anywhere. It's always worth it, and they're always 5 minutes away.
Absolutely.
Are you flavoring them thusly? Is it like that kind of style where it's almost, it's not Old Bay, but it's a cousin of Old Bay?
Yeah, I love that. Whatever that orange crust flavor is that they put on those fries, that is to desire. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And then for the drink, of course, I would like a nice tall glass of ice-filled Coca-Cola.
Ice-filled Coca-Cola. So Daris departs from Grant and I on how much ice he likes in his Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
He wants to have I think numbers approximate for DC Daris.
Sure.
He likes 4% beverage, 96% ice. That's what he likes when he drinks his beverage.
That's about the
so approximation. If you have a can and you're doing the refill bit, I like to go heavy ice because there's the placebo that you actually have more beverage than you actually have, right?
That's where I'm at. I'm more along the lines of what Linnell's describing. You're kind of trolling me, Danny, which is fine.
Yeah.
We have a lot of common.
He's not responding to the troll, by
Well,
the way.
Well, no, like, I know.
He's a longtime DC fan. Green Lantern, Dameron over there. Linnell, what would you eat?
Well, today's a special day in the world of fast food, so there's one thing that I am craving. We're going to talk about it tonight on Overtime.
Oh.
So return to the snack wrap today, Danny Ruelier. Do you understand how important that snack wrap is to my life? Do we understand what the snack wrap means to me?
So respectfully, no. But I want to give you a chance to expound. It's return of the snack right here, right?
Yeah, there we go.
Mark Morrison sang about it. This is actually what inspired the song. People don't know this. Mark Morrison went through a difficult time where McDonald's took away the snack wrap.
Come on now.
Returning.
Tell the people.
So Ryan, who's around your age.
Yeah.
And you, who are around your age, would not stop talking about the snack wrap. He told us it was coming back. Now you told us that today is the day.
Today's the day.
What? Why? Why is it such a big deal to have a one chicken strip inside a tortilla lettuce?
It's one chicken strip inside of a tortilla with the best shredded lettuce you'll find in this country.
That's a dubious honor, the best shredded lettuce.
Shredded cheese and just the perfect, you can't get it too wet with the ranch. It's got to be just enough ranch to where the tortilla and the lettuce can absorb it all. It's brilliant. I have a personal connection with it because it was my cheat meal when I was playing Little League football. I had to cut weight because I went on vacation and they said that they didn't have a helmet for me. I basically wasn't good enough to play with the kids my age.
I see. Okay.
So I had to play down a year.
Yeah.
I turned into a college football player, so I didn't suck that bad. But whenever I would finish weighing in, my Aunt Vicky would have two snack wraps waiting at the scale for your boy. I'm eating Cheerios for breakfast. As a middle school kid, imagine being told you have to eat dry Cheerios for breakfast, not Honey Nut Cheerios. I'm talking about Cheerios. Mm-hmm. And then I would wait for Saturday morning, man. Whenever I hopped off that scale and a snack wrap was awaiting me, and I'd go kill people on the football field.
Think about the suffering of Cheerios. Imagine being in your 40s, and if you're in the same room as a bagel, you get 8 pounds of side fat. Imagine that. Rhino.
We and Linnell can acknowledge this as well. The fact that you're just like, what's so good about a chicken tender and lettuce and cheese and ranch and a tortilla? That's like saying, like, what's so good about this burger place as just a patty and cheese and grilled onions on top?
He doesn't get it, Ryan.
You don't get it. You have to try it. You just have to try it.
I don't get it at all, but I have tried it. When it's like, when there's nothing else in the fridge. It's like a bunch of leftovers. And I'm like, a snack wrap. Like, you know how much more special it is when the McRib comes back, which it comes back every 7 months? You know what I mean? Like, it is such a nothing burger. And it's not a burger at all. But this is what happens. The younger generations, and Darius, and I'm looking at you as the millennial representative here. Everyone else in there is you know, preschool age. You guys destroyed the Big Mac. Your whole generation, like, it's like Grant's like, I would never eat a Big Mac. It's like, the more bread, that's bad for you. Millennials killed the Big Mac, right?
I'm not in that category.
Where no millennial ever ate a Big Mac for whatever reason, because you guys are the worst. And then you taught this younger generation how to be more the worst. And they're like, you guys, there's a tortilla from a place that doesn't do tortillas. And it's fried chicken from a place that doesn't really do fried chicken. That's the end. It's got shredded lettuce. That sounds so negative. It sounds so stupid. The best shredded lettuce is saying it's like, well, I got the best nose hair. Who gives a bleep? Who cares? You know how much better a real taco is? You know how much better like a real, like a fajita would be? Than that?
The snack wrap is so good that other fast food establishments have tried to mimic it, Danny.
Because it's cheap and easy. That's why. It costs 17 cents. You know how much better a Big Mac with fries is than a...
What'd you call it?
That's what I hear when you kids...
By the way, I love a Big Mac. I don't know what Grant Paulson's talking about.
Well, yeah, it's the millennials. That skipped. The millennials ruined... Okay. Again, they ruined stuff. And then you guys are like, let's do more of that. Let's
snack
ruin more things.
Awesome, though.
I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah.
But so are like Lunchables. You know what I mean? Like
Danny.
See what I'm saying? Like the over talking about the snack wrap, the going Lady Gaga over the snack wrap. Again, have you had their fries? You know how much better their fries are? You know how much better their fountain Coca-Cola's
here,
are?
Let me
you know
put
you know how much better those McFlurries are the one time a year where they're working?
Let me put that in my bucket of Danny Ruelier bad sports things. Or bad non-sports things.
Oh, stop it.
You're the same guy that said Lil Wayne's not a good lyricist. And I have to listen to your snack rap opinion?
I don't know if he's a good lyricist or not. I know I can't understand a word. That was a bad, we gotta go to break. Nope. English mother bleeper, do you speak it? Beltway Blitz is next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.